workout today. You've been standing for 50 minutes. I know it was tough, but it was worth it. Now you're sweating. You're feeling good. Let's get into the word. Let's go. Come on. We're ready. We're ready. You ready, church? Let's go. Let's get into the word. Open it up. If you got it, open it up. We're covered by the blood. We do not get the blood. The blood does not make sense to us in this culture. This culture that it was written to, this book, this holy book, they get it. They understood the blood. We don't get the blood. We read about the blood. We talk about the blood. We don't get the blood. We forget about the blood. We take the blood lightly. This day is marked because you'll never think about the blood the same again. You'll never take it as lightly as you have in your life before this again. You will leave this room changed because you'll understand there was a sacrifice. There was blood spilt. The Israelite people understood the blood. When Moses came, him and Aaron, God used them, and the 10 plagues came through Egypt. They get to that 10th plague, and it's the death of the firstborn son. It's the death of the firstborn son. And God tells Moses and Aaron, tell my people to take a lamb, to sacrifice it, and to take the blood, let it be poured into a basin, and take the blood, take that red, disgusting blood, just take it, take that blood, and put it on the doorposts. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over. We do not get the blood. I woke up at 3:30 this morning, and I had a whole nother sermon ready. I was like, Lord, I got something. I got good stuff, Lord. It could be a TED Talk someday. he's like, sit down, son. Shut up. Like, we're going to talk about the blood today. Lord, I don't know about the blood. Exactly. I got to tell you more about the blood. There's always fresh revelation in the kingdom of God. Some of you have been in church your whole life and you think you know it all. You got all the answers. I've read the Bible front to back and I've done it. I've been through Bible in a year plans and all that. I'm great. I'm good. Tell heaven. No, there's more. What's that game show? There's more. There's more. I don't know what game show that is. It's something. Some old person will know it. Seasoned. That's what we say around here. We love our seasoned people. We do. Some people are like, you got a lot of young people in this house. We got a lot of great seasoned people too. We got a lot of spiritual fathers and mothers that the Lord is raising up in this house, and we're blessed. But y'all don't know about that game show. All right, that's fine. I don't know what it was. But there's more. There's always fresh revelation in the kingdom of God. Wake up tomorrow. Open the word. In fact, don't even wait to go to bed. When you get home today, open up the word. And what do we do here? We call it soap. Get into some scripture. That's the S. Write down your observations. Get a journal. Write it down. Because when you write it down, it goes from your head to the paper to your heart. I'm telling you, something transforms when you begin to write things down. It gets into you. So write down your observations. That's weird. That's strange. I don't understand that. What's this about the blood? Why did they have to put it on the door? What's this mean? And then you begin to write your applications. Lord, how do I apply this to my life? That's the A, S-O-A, and then the P, begin to pray. And some of you, you just think of prayer, it's a checklist to the Lord. No, if you would just sit and listen to him, just sit in silence and take your checklist that you keep writing and bringing to him and getting frustrated. He hasn't answered half of these. He hasn't answered 90% of these. I mean, they're still on here. When are you going to do it, Lord? And you're so worried about your checklist that you're bringing to him that you're missing out on sitting in his presence in prayer. If you would just sit in silence and alone with him in prayer, if you would turn off the car radio while you're driving, if you would shut off Netflix at your house, if you would turn off the noise and just sit with him in prayer and listen, you'd begin to hear his still, small voice. He'd begin to bring up scriptures to you. Like, just scriptures are going to come to you out of nowhere, and you're going to be like, what's that? John 8. Why am I hearing John 8? Open up the word, go to John 8 and begin to write, begin to journal and see what he's got for you, because you'll begin to find that he'll give you rhema words. Rhema is just a Greek word. It just means, it's like a living and active word. There's a logos word. It's the word. And then there's a rhema word, and it's living and active, and it's for that moment, for right now. He wants to speak to you. His word is living and active. He wants to give you rhema words. And so when you open up, when you listen to his voice, you're going to find, oh my goodness, this is a word for this season that I'm in. I'm struggling right now. I wish my life looked different than it did. I wish things were going better than how they're going right now. And all of a sudden you open up his word and it's going to be the perfect timing. It's going to be the perfect word. And you're going to be like, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to me. There's so many ways he wants to speak to you. He wants to give you dreams and visions. He is pouring out dreams and visions in this season on his sons and daughters. But will you turn off the news? Will you turn off the apps? Turn off the social media? Will you turn it off and sit with him in prayer and silence and go to bed peaceful instead of scrolling through your phone for 30 minutes in the dark before you try to fall asleep? If you'll just sit with him and lay and listen to his voice as you're falling asleep. When did the prophet Samuel hear him? When he was a boy, when he was laying in bed trying to sleep, and all of a sudden he heard a voice, and he thought it was the priest. He thought it was Eli calling him. No, it was the Lord. Like, they didn't have any cell phones. They didn't have any distractions back then. Like, he was just laying there trying to fall asleep, and all of a sudden the voice of the Lord started to speak to him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you dreams and visions. He wants to give you words. He wants to speak to you in this season. If you'll turn everything off, your life will never be the same. Praise God. So I wake up. And I hear him talking to me. He's bringing up stuff about the blood. He's bringing up transgression. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him. We heard from him. From him. Once again, when you get into the word, you are not just reading the words of men. You're reading the words, the oracles of the living God. The living God. Do not take this lightly. This is why I tell people, get a real Bible. Get a heavy one. Get something real that you can get in your hands. Don't just look at it on your phone, because when you're just looking at stuff on your phone, it's not real to you. You can watch men and women get murdered, get genocided. Genocided, I don't know if that's a word, sorry. I don't know what it is. But you can watch these terrible things happen and you get numb to it. You get numb to it because it's not real to you. It's light. It's not heavy. Get a real Bible. Pastor Stone's got one of these thick Bibles. It's a workout to carry this thing. It weighs a couple pounds. Get one. Like, ladies, you're looking for a good man at revival? Look for a Bible. Like, if he's not holding a Bible, be like, all right, maybe not, you know? Men, you're carrying your Bible to church and you're looking for a nice single lady here at revival? Well, if she ain't carrying a Bible, maybe be like, oh, she might not be the one yet, all right? Thank God for the transformation and renewal of our minds. Because there's going to be some men and women that go home today and they're going to get on the app and they're going to find a great Bible and they're going to find a nice, sturdy, heavy leather Bible and be like, there we go, that's the one. And they're going to show up next week and you're going to be like, maybe they are the one. Love is in the air. We love the Word. The Word changes lives. It changed my life. It's changed so many people's lives in my family, in this house. The word changes things. It never returns void. You might think, oh, I just wasted 5 minutes. I read the Bible and I didn't feel like I got a rhema word. I don't think I got anything. It might not be for that moment, but you might go along that week or that year and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. And you'll remember, like, what was he bringing back to me today? He was bringing back, when I woke up this morning, all these different Bible verses about transgressions. Transgression, transgression, transgression. And I've read them before, and I've just kind of read right over them, because what was I doing? I'm just trying to check something off the box. I'm just trying to read. But his word, even when you're just trying to check something off the box, it never returns void. And it's in you. It gets deep in you. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your DNA. And so then all of a sudden, you might have read something that didn't make sense and it didn't matter. And 1 year, 2 year, 5 years later, you're sitting there and all of a sudden it comes back to you and like, I know that verse. And that's for right now, right here, right today. I need to look at that. I need to find it. I need to search for it like it's valuable. Because it is. There's something valuable here today for you. You came in here today and you're distracted by everything going on in your family. Your family, you feel like your family is getting torn apart. Your family is a mess right now. It's a wreck right now. And you're just like, what am I doing here? This isn't helping. This isn't making a difference. This is the one place where you're going to hear the one thing that will change your life, and it'll never be the same if you take it, if you chew on it, if you meditate on it. That's what it means. To meditate means to chew on it. Chew on God's word. Begin to speak it. Begin to write it down. Begin to think about it. Begin to process it with him and sit and listen to him. It will change your life if you'll eat of this word. It will change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your kids. And you might be a little discouraged right now. You might be in a season where it's like, oh, nothing's going right. Everything's going wrong. Let me tell you something. Chew on the word. Eat of his word in this season. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start to notice things are shifting. Things are getting better. Why? Because you stayed planted in God's house, in God's word, in God's presence. We're people of his presence. We're people that honor him. We honor his word. We honor his Holy Spirit. He's here with us. It says where two or more are gathered, he's there in the midst of them. He's here today. He's here. If we say that we have fellowship with him, there are people right now who say they have fellowship with him. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I check off all the boxes. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, you cannot say one thing and walk another thing. You can't say one thing and walk another thing. Some of you, you're here today and you're saying one thing. You're like, oh, yeah, I go to church. I checked it off the box. But Sunday night, Monday, whatever, the rest of the week, you're walking in something else. You're not planted in his word. You're not planted in his presence. You're walking in disobedience, and you know it's disobedience, but you don't call it transgression. You don't call it sin. You call it a mistake. You call it a slip-up. You call it a life choice. That's just my choice. You call it an identity. That's just how I was born. I was just born with it. We're all born with it, but he wants to break it off you. We're all born with it, but he wants to break it off you in the name of Jesus, because that's what the blood does. The blood transforms you. You will never be the same when you submit to the blood. When you say yes to Jesus, you will never be the same. And some of you are a little frustrated because it still feels like you're the same, but you don't want it to be the same. Keep walking with him. Keep showing up. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you kind of don't want to, it's like a new lifestyle when you say, I'm going to work out and I'm going to eat well. It's all right for a week, but week two, you're like, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. This is hard. This is difficult, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I see some of you, you're here and you've been here. Like I see some young couples in this house. You've been here for a couple months. There's a lot of people, they come in and they're on fire and they're strong and they're like, yeah. They're saying yes to the Lord and they're all in and they stay for a week or two or three and then they kind of trail off and they miss a week and then they miss another week and then they miss another week and they say one thing but they walk another thing. But I also see some couples in this house that I see you walking strong. I see you walking it out. You're hungry. You're hungry for the Lord. You're hungry to honor him. You don't want to just say it. You want to walk it out. I know that the Lord sees you because the Lord is highlighting you to me right now. You too. I mean, right there. I know people are like, you shouldn't call people out in church. I'm going to call people out in church. I love the way you guys are walking with the Lord right now. You keep chasing him. The Lord, he sees that. He loves you both. He loves how you guys are walking out this season. Is it easy always? No. Is it tough? Is it difficult? Where do you drive from? Fremont, Nebraska? That ain't easy. You got to wake up 30 minutes earlier than everybody else here. Except for my York family, who wakes up an hour and a half earlier than everybody else here. Some of you are like, oh, I got to wake up so early to get to church. Talk to my York family and back. Talk to my Fremont family up here. They're hungry for the house. They love the Lord. They know it's worth it to get in the house because they know they've seen the fruit. They've seen the fruit. They saw it in their family's lives. They saw it in their brother's life, their son's life, their daughter's life. They saw it in somebody's life, and they're like, what is different about you? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It sticks out. What's the Holy Spirit? What's it compared to? What's he compared to all throughout Scripture? Oil. Oil. What happens when you get oil on you? It leaves a stain, right? Like if you get oil on you, you're like, great, this shirt is ruined. If you get oil on you in the house, if it's his oil, my goodness, keep that shirt forever. Hold on to that shirt. Praise the Lord. You want to walk covered in oil your whole life. What won't come out of clothes? Oil and blood. Oil and blood. You want all the oil. You want all the blood. That is good. That is good. I got one of you. That's good. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Yeah, come on. Don't you want the oil and the blood on you? It's good. He won't ruin your clothes. He'll make it better. You're never going to be the same. You're going to walk out of here with fresh oil. Don't you want to be baptized in His Holy Spirit? Some of you are like, yeah, praise the Lord. There we go. All of a sudden, the church woke up. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we'll wake up for that. Let's go, church. There's more of Him. Some of you think, no, I did it one time and it was good. No. There's a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It talks about it in Acts. They were filled again and again and again. There's more. Stop thinking you got it all when you were 11 and you figured it all out when you finished your first time through the whole Bible and you're like, I know it all. I got baptized at 11. I finished reading through the Bible at 22. I'm done. I graduated. Shut up. That was me at 22. I'm telling myself, shut up, kid. You had no clue what there was. There was more. Praise God, there's more. Sometimes that's what's wrecking me up here. Some people are like, why is our pastor crying? Is he sad? No. Like, I'm just like, I'm amazed. Like, I'm amazed because I sat in worship services for decades and never felt a thing. Why? Because I saw men and women worship like this. This ain't worship. That's not worship, but that's what I saw, and that's what I was told. That's worship. And anybody that worshiped, anybody that got a little crazy or a little loud, or maybe they jumped around. I remember, like, I had family members that would kind of look, and they'd kind of, like, do side eye in church and be like, that guy. You know, they were scoffers. Scoffing is demonic. I just want you to know, if you're in here today and you've been kind of scoffing and kind of, these people are kind of weird, like, you might have a demon. And some of you are like, how dare you tell me I have a demon? Josh just, he gave us a good word about demons. Anybody, there are unclean spirits. You can be oppressed or even possessed by an unclean spirit. They are demonic, and they will whisper demonic thoughts to you. And what happens is you take those thoughts and you let them get planted inside your head, and you make them your own, and you begin to believe that they're your thoughts and your identity, and this is just who you are and who God made you. God made me this way. I got a good eye. I used to think being like kind of a critic of churches was a spiritual gift. Like my wife and I, we would go to churches, and we'd visit them, and we'd be like, they could have done that better. They could have done that better. They could have done that. You know, I mean, we'd kind of sit around. Like, we'd just stand like this during worship and be like, that's kind of weird. That guy's getting a little too charismatic over there. You know, just like, you know, just, we were, what were we? We had given in to demonic thoughts, but we did not know it. We had demons in our lives, and we were chained up and bound, and we did not realize it. So some of you today, He wants to free you. He wants to deliver you. We have a deliverance ministry. We walk people through deliverance, all in the name of Jesus, by the power of His blood, and people get free from demons. People get free from demonic thoughts. And some people just, you're still sitting there and you're kind of like, that doesn't sound real. The Lord is going to show you and reveal to you this week that demons are real and that you can get free from them. He's going to give you a vision. I was just sitting with a woman of God this week, and she was sharing with me, and she was like, she's so sweet. She calls me Al, you know, and she's like, Al? I got to wink at her a little bit. Al, I was so skeptical of this stuff. I didn't believe any of it. But this past week, she shared a story. She saw a demon. She's like, I've never seen that. I've never experienced that in my life. But I saw it. It was in the room with me. And she described it. And she's like, I don't think I ever believed any of that. I was doubtful of it. What's the Lord doing? Sometimes the Lord just opens our eyes to see the enemy, to realize the spiritual battle and what's going on around us. He wants you to level up and become aware of just how serious this is and the attack on your life or on your family's life, on your sons, on your daughters. But praise the Lord for the blood. Praise the Lord for the power of the blood. Verse 6. If you want the notes today, text REVNOTES to the number 94,000. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Some of you are like, well, I got to be true to who I am. No, you have to practice the truth. What is the truth? This is the truth. This is it. There is nothing else true that you can stand on in this world. Everything else is sinking sand. This is the rock. This is the firm foundation that Jesus said to build your life on. Everything else is a lie, and it will not lead you to joy. It will not lead you to love. There will be no peace. There will be no patience, no kindness, no goodness, no faithfulness, no gentleness, no self-control. No, the only thing good comes from him. It's his truth. It's his word. Build your life on it. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. He's the one. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Don't forget that. Don't build your life on sinking sand. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One another. There should be fellowship in God's house. Practice it. Some of you are like, oh, I don't really like that person. I don't know if I really want to sit by that person. That person's a little strange. That person's a little weird. They look a little different. There's fellowship. Start practicing it because we're going to spend eternity together. Get used to it. Praise God that we don't all look alike, act alike, talk alike. Praise God for some differences in the house. Praise God that not everybody thinks the same. Praise God that we're in a church where not everybody comes from the same background. We got charismatics and we got Baptists. We got Christian church and we got Pentecostal. We got it all in this house. Praise God. Why? Because we're unified under him and we're not going to be unified under a label. Let the labels burn in hell. Let the labels burn in hell. You came in with a label, I'm this. I was born in this. I was raised in this. Let the labels burn in the pit of hell. We follow the way, the truth, and the life. What kind of church is this? We follow the way. He's the way. He's the way maker. And so we're not going to put a label on it. We're just going to follow his word. If his word says it, we're going to do it. We're going to honor him. Everybody wants labels. No. What did I say? Let the labels burn in where? The one time you get to say hell in church. You're welcome. Let them burn. Some of you are like, well, I don't think this way. Maybe I shouldn't be here. And some of you are like, I think this way, and they don't think this way. Maybe they shouldn't be there. That's demonic. That's a thought from the devil. He's trying to get in. He's trying to divide. What's the devil do? He's a divider. He's a divider. What's the Holy Spirit do? He unites. I'm getting wrecked. Somebody should be getting wrecked in here. Some of you've been in here thinking you're listening to the Holy Spirit, but it's all about, oh, we gotta move away from them. We gotta push them out. We gotta get them out of here. No. We gotta get covered by the blood. Get covered by the oil. He unites us. We're united in Christ. We're united in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Father wants. The Father looks down on his house, and he hates the division. We got to get united. We got to be one as he and the Father are one. Jeez. Praise him, praise him, praise him. It's crazy. Some of you are in here like, whoa, what's so crazy? It's crazy. He's moving right now. He's speaking. Some of you will never be the same. And some of you are like, I don't get it. What's going on? You got to get it in a week. You got to get it in a week. You're going to wake up next Sunday morning and be like, I get it. You're going to show up in here next Sunday morning, and you're going to come in, and you're going to be like, nah, I still don't feel like it. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see the person next to you that you thought was normal, like you, and that they worship the same way as you, and they just kind of did this. And you're going to see them put their hands up, and you're going to be like, wait a second. Oh, no. They got them. And then you're going to be like, oh, no. Grandpa, not grandpa. Yeah, grandpa's praising the Lord. Come on. You're going to see grandparents come to the Lord. You're going to see grandparents in this room praising the Lord. You're going to see people you thought would never praise the Lord praising the Lord. And you're going to start praising the Lord too. You're going to lead the way in your family, some of you. You're going to lead the way. You'll never be the same again, and your family will never be the same again because you got touched by the Holy Spirit. You're never going to be the same again. And some of you, you're going to be mad next week because it didn't. You want it right now, but it's not going to happen right now. Fight for it. Fight for it. Fight for it. Pastor Matt came back in January, and we said our word of the year is honor. And what did he say? He preached a message. What did he say? You might not remember one thing, but I want you to remember this one thing. What did he tell us? He said, fight for it. Fight for it. The devil is coming to divide. You got to fight for it. You got to fight to be one. You got to fight for it. Listen to the Holy Spirit today. Fight for it. It's worth fighting for. But Pastor, you don't understand. Shut up. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Stop telling me, oh man, they got this going on and they got this. Talk to the Holy Spirit. See what he says. Open up the word. See what he says to you today. Be one. Be one. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son. You have to understand, it's the blood was spilled of Jesus Christ, his son. The Father sent his son to die for us. You can say whatever you want. You can say the holy biblical answer, oh, I would send my son. I would do that too because I'm a good Christian. You can say it, but you wouldn't. You wouldn't. He sent his son. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You're washed in the blood. You are washed in the blood. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Stop deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse. What do we cleanse by? The blood. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let his word dwell. Let his word live within you. Let it grow roots deep down inside your heart. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Not your mistakes, not your mess ups, this is just who I am. He was wounded for our transgressions. We transgressed against the Father. We sinned against the Father. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. We sinned, we transgressed. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. The lashes on his back, by his stripes, by the blood we are healed. We do not understand the blood. But he's given us a revelation of the blood today. You have to understand the blood. Because when you put the blood on the doorpost, death passes over. When you put the blood of the Son on the doorpost, death passes over. We got to get covered in the blood. We need a greater revelation of the blood today. You have to understand this. I told this story in huddle today. There was this camp. I was going around. I was traveling for my Christian college. I was going around to all these different junior high camps, high school camps, and I went to this camp, and we're sitting around one night at campfire. All the kids had gone to bed, and I think it was like the dean of the camp. He's talking, and he's sharing stories, and he says a couple years before at that camp, there was this pastor that they had come out and preach, and this pastor, he was preaching all 5 nights. He brought out a lamb with him. And he brought the lamb, and they just kind of let it roam along the camp. And it was just, you know, grazing, and the kids loved it. The kids named it. They were all about the lamb. And so all week, they're like, oh, they had some name for it. I don't know, lamb chop or something. I mean, it was just, I don't know, stupid joke, whatever. And they're playing with it. They're talking to it. They're petting it, all that stuff. And he's preaching, and he's preaching, and he's preaching. And he gets to the last night, and he's preaching about the blood, and he brings the lamb up on stage, and some of you already know where I'm going with this, and he takes a basin, and he puts it there, and he slits the lamb's neck in front of the entire camp, and some of you are scarred right now. You're like, I can't believe that's real. That's insane. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, and that's what everybody said. They're all just kind of sitting around this campfire, and everybody was like, that's crazy. That guy should have got fired. That guy, he's terrible. He's the worst. Everybody's just, you know, it's like when your favorite quarterback has a bad game and everybody plays armchair quarterback and everybody's like, I mean, they're just dogging on this guy. And I was right there with him. I was like, that's so stupid. Yeah, he deserves to get fired. And I woke up this morning and I felt the Lord bring that story to mind. And I felt him saying, they have a better understanding of the blood after that. They have a better understanding of the blood. It's so secondary to us. It just becomes background noise. It just becomes a lyric in a song, and we get numb to the blood. But I'm telling you, those kids, they'll never forget the blood. They will never forget the blood. When you sacrifice a lamb, it produces 4 gallons of blood. At Passover time, when the Israelites would come and they would travel to the temple, it's estimated during the time of Jesus that 2 to 3 million people would come, and each family was supposed to bring a lamb to sacrifice for their family. 2 to 3 million people, all those, it's estimated that there was about 250,000 lambs that were sacrificed. 4 gallons of blood per lamb. Somebody, you're already doing the math. That's over 1 million gallons of blood. I believe that's over, that might be 2 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Somebody else will do the math and be like, no, that's not right, Pastor. That's all right. I'm close enough. It's a lot of blood. We don't understand the blood. The blood is secondary. It's background noise to us. Our kid, or maybe ourselves, we scrape our knee and we get a little bit of blood, and some of us are like, oh, I can't, don't show me that. We don't understand the weight of the blood. I'm just praying today that we get a greater revelation of the blood. I'm praying that we begin to understand what was poured out for us. All we like sheep, verse 6, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord took our iniquity, he took it, and he laid it on the Lamb, the Son of God. He took what was yours, and he said, it's not yours anymore, it's his. His blood will be spilled. His blood will be poured out. I'm taking it off your head and I'm putting it onto his. Do you understand? Are you starting to understand the blood? Father God, please let us understand the blood. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Pastor Andrew, you can come up as we get ready to close up. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. You're a part of his people. If you've given your life to Jesus, you have to understand that. You are included in this. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Sometimes we say, oh, no, it was for them, it was for them. It was for you. It was your transgression. It was your iniquity. You got to own it. You have to know it and you have to own it. It was mine. It was my transgression. It was my iniquity. I sinned against him. I sinned against him over and over and over. In fact, so many times I just kept going and I'd get numb to it and I would live in it and I would dwell in it. Why? Because I was doing it out of the flesh. Until I learned to walk with the Spirit, all I knew was the blood. I didn't know about the oil. Nobody told me about the oil. I was covered by the blood when I was 11, but nobody told me about the oil, because the oil will teach you how to walk. He wants to teach you how to walk. He wants to set you free, life to the full. I knew the blood, but I didn't know about the oil. The blood is good, and we need it, but we also need the oil. Don't forget about the oil today. Let it be washed in blood and oil today. Let your robes be washed in the blood and the oil today. He's the Holy Spirit. That's the oil. I wasn't in a Spirit-filled church. I was in a dry bones church. And I went from one dry bones church to another. We didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. We didn't know him. We didn't believe he still spoke. But he's living and he's moving and he still speaks today. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the same Holy Spirit. And I went from dry bones to dry bones, and I was in the valley, and I was in my darkest moment, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke and the light came on. And he said, Son of man, preach. Are you ready to preach the word of God? Tell these dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. He placed Ezekiel in a valley of dry bones. He placed that prophet there, and he said, Son of man, do you believe these dry bones can move again? Do you believe they'll come alive again? Preach the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord brings life. And the bones began to rattle. And I'm telling you, you're a part of the rattle today. You're a part of the rattle today. Dry bones have come alive in this city, and they're not done yet. There's more dry bones coming to life in this city. There's more churches coming to life in this city. The Holy Spirit is breaking out in this city. Don't you want to be a part of it? Don't you want to be a part of it? We're covered in the blood. We're washed in the blood. But my goodness, don't miss out on the oil. You need the blood and the oil today. I hear a rattling. They made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's a prospering in his kingdom breaking forth. There's an advancement in his kingdom breaking forth. The dry bones are beginning to rattle. They're coming alive. They're coming to life tonight. Let them come to life. When you get home tonight, sit with the Lord. Be alone with him. And I'm telling you, he's going to bring you to life in a way you never thought was possible. We're washed in the blood. We're covered in the oil. He unites us as one. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We're justified because he bared our iniquities. He took them for us. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2. Stand up as we read this, church. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Don't forget, Paul says, that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Only their bodies and not their hearts. Let your heart be cut today. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. Why do we read the Old Testament all the time, Pastor? Because you need to know your family history. You need to know the covenant promises that were made to you. You've been adopted by the blood, and now the promises for his people are for you because you're a part of his people. That's a good promise. That's a good promise. Two people got that today. 20 are gonna get it next week. 30 are gonna get it 2 months from now. The whole house is gonna get it by the end of the year. This whole city is gonna get it by next year. They're gonna catch it. They're gonna catch it. They're gonna catch it. Why? Because they're gonna see the oil and the blood on your life. I highlighted this young couple over here. Why? Why are they here today? Because they saw the fruit of their brother. They saw the fruit of their brother, and they're like, he wasn't like that before. Corby was different. He was kind of a jerk. He was kind of the worst. I didn't really like him that much. He was my brother. But they saw the fruit of the Holy Spirit on his life, and they said, praise the Lord, there's something different about him. We got to get to the house because something is happening in God's house. In this day, something is happening. It's something. It's the blood and the oil. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You were excluded, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. If that's you today, if you've been living without God, without hope, ministry team, get up here. Ministry team, get up here. Come receive these people. If you've been living without God and without hope, come and give your life to Jesus today. Get out of the aisle. Run. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These people want to pray with you. They want to pray for you. They want to intercede for you. Jeez, don't miss this moment. He wants to give you hope and a future. He wants to give you his blood. He wants to give you his oil. Verse 13. You were without God. You were without hope. If that's you today, this is for you. Don't miss this moment. It's a moment. You got to step into obedience. Don't walk to the altar. Don't kind of sneak your way to the altar. Run to the altar. There's no shame at the altar. Shame flees at the altar. Shame and guilt flee at the altar. They're not welcome here. Why? Because you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. But now, verse 13, this is what I wanted to get to. You have been united. United. You have been united. Jews and Gentiles, people that were at odds with each other, people that did not understand each other, people that hated each other. Some of you are in today and you feel like you're at odds with people in this house. No, you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You want to know where this church stands? We stand on the truth of his word. We stand under the blood of Christ, and we're united as one. Give your life to Jesus today if you have it. Let's praise.